This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so thrilled to be with you again today. I am so thrilled because I have a guest with me that I am just getting to know. And after this show, I'm going to know him even more. And I'm excited about that because this person is my assistant at work. Now, you know, this show is about learning about how to be better, how to feel better with the Lord's help, understanding what the Lord wants from our lives and for our lives. And the experiences that we experience throughout our lives, they're stepping stones a lot of the times to the future. And this life is a journey. So I don't know really where Caleb's going to go with the show today. But the way I presented the show to him and I present it to you is that this show is the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And all of those words and feelings behind them are very, very important. And when we can combine passion and our purpose and be connected, then wow, that's an amazing place to be. And so I asked Caleb to be on the show today. And Caleb, I just asked him, how long have you been my assistant? And he told me since February, and I'm counting the months. And I'm like, wow, you haven't been with me very long, but it seems like a lot longer than that. Caleb has such a servant's heart, and he aims to please. He wants to please. And we work pretty well together. He gets things done, keeps me on the straight and narrow as far as being where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. And so, Caleb, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too. So when I was presenting this, I said, Caleb, the purpose of this show is to give hope when someone might be feeling hopeless, giving help when they might feel helpless. It's a show about learning more and realizing that you're not alone, that you're really not alone. Because the devil wants us to feel alone. He wants us to be isolated because then he can do his things to us and get in our thoughts and things like that. So the best thing to do is to not be alone. But then you have to choose who you're going to hang around with. You don't want to just hang around with anybody. And, you know, the word family is more than people that you,
Charles Dickens said that family isn't defined by who you share blood with. It is defined by whom you would choose to shed your blood for.
Oh, that's very nice. Wow. I like that. So we get to choose those people that we want to be around. So with that being said, you know, I always tell people, I told my children, you know, choose your friends wisely because you become those you hang around with. So you want to choose wisely. So I don't know where you are, listener, in that situation right there. But if you were going to make a change in some area of your life, that might be the area you need to change. Just take an inventory of who you're hanging around with. And this goes right alongside with the story today or the show today, because I told Caleb, I said, you know, let's pick something, a subject matter or whatnot that you're passionate about and something that could bring hope to someone that might need hope. I don't know about you, but, you know, we all have our ups and we all have our downs. And in the Bible, it talks about, you know, to walk alongside, to pick your brother up if he's fallen. And so, Caleb, when I asked you this question, you did a lot of praying and you did a lot of thinking and you talked to people and you came up with, you know, the idea of what you wanted to talk about. But before we go there, I just want to get to know you and I want the listeners to get to know you a little bit. Okay. So where were you born and what was your childhood like?
Well, I was born in San Diego, but when I was 6 weeks old, my parents moved down to Brazil to be missionaries there. So I grew up in Brazil, and my childhood, it's difficult to quantify how different it was from just growing up as a normal American in the States. But I would say that there was a profound sense of I was different from everyone around me.
Hmm.
I was the only white boy in my entire school. Everyone knew my name because I just stuck out like a sore thumb. But there was this sense of separation because even though I had been there since I was an infant, they still considered me to be an American. And they always they were very friendly. Brazilians are very friendly in general, but they always there was always this sort of arm's length feeling where I didn't really identify with them. And so it's interesting because the place that I grew up, the place that I consider home, didn't really accept me. And I kind of just grew to accept that sort of isolation as being normal. But also I kind of put my hope in when I finally became an adult and came back to the States to go to college that I would suddenly fit in, that I would suddenly find my place.
Was there anything that happened when you were over there that stands out? You know, any incident that stands out in your mind when you were in Brazil before you came back to the States to find your so-called home? Can you remember an incident?
Yeah. I mean, there were several times that I found friends. I found comfort in being close with especially other missionary kids who kind of had that same sense that I did. And so I developed this idea that my friendships were where I would find my home. But with that came an enormous sense of grief because missionaries, they move around a lot. They move from city to city, and even though we developed really deep relationships, very intimate, and just we got along so well with each other, we didn't have control over where we lived, and so we would separate. We did our best to try and stay in contact and write letters to each other, but that sense of grief.
Did that cause you to somehow hold back from relationship because you knew it was going to be short-lived? Do you think that maybe that caused an issue of reserve or protection of, you know, I don't want to hurt so bad in this grieving process, so maybe I shouldn't get as close because I know it's not going to be for long term? Do you think maybe that's something that
Absolutely.
Was created for you?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's huge.
It is. I would say that I tended to withdraw from people who I was already around and chose to spend more time writing letters, writing emails, building a kind of a conceptual world for myself almost, where I was still together with all of these different friends that I had made. And I don't know, I was always drawn to islands and to towers, these kind of hiding places where I and my friends could go. Several of my friends, David and Vanessa, we would talk about how when we grew up, we would find a castle somewhere in Europe together and all live in the same place. And just this idea of, again, going back to this idea of home and rootedness and being established in one place.
How about your mom and dad, the relationship you had with your mom and dad? What was that like being in a missionary situation? It's, you know, what you're describing is kind of like what they say about army brats, you know, people that move from place to place in the army, the military. You can't choose where you're going to live. You just live there. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Caleb, and he's talking about his childhood and what it's like to not fit in or fit in, and where is home, and who are you really? So stay tuned to what we are going to talk about. And if you think that maybe there's somebody that might need to hear this show, just realize that you can point them in the direction of Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and you can pull up any podcast for the last 3 years. We are syndicated, go from San Diego to San Luis Obispo, and now with the internet, you can find me anywhere, no matter where you are. So that's a wonderful thing. Anyway, so Caleb, you had a little time to think there.
Yeah, you could say that there are a lot of parallels that could be drawn between Army brats and missionary kids. I would say that in general, missionaries make great parents just because they are so focused on God and on building their lives around serving the Lord. However, there were several instances that I felt pain. I think the first one that stands out is when I was 6 years old and my dad couldn't come to my birthday party because he's actually an airplane pilot, and there was an emergency out in one of the Indian tribes, so he had to take the plane to bring someone to the hospital. And there was this sense of I was hurt that he couldn't come to my birthday party, like this day that when you're 6 years old, you're thinking it's all about me. Mm-hmm. But there was this sense of what he is doing is for God and therefore more important than me, which is, it's not exactly healthy.
Especially not at six.
No, because as far as parenting goes, one of the things I've learned in Bible school is that a person's ministry is primarily to their husband or wife and to their kids. Mm-hmm. And after that, the love that forms in that well flows out to other people.
I said exactly the same thing in probably two shows ago.
Really?
I said that, yeah, that ministry starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. And it has to start there. That's, you know, the way God created it, mm-hmm. was to be there. Ephesians talks about that.
Absolutely.
Quite a bit, actually. Yes. So that's interesting. See, I didn't know that, Caleb. And, you know, there had to be a lot of pain in that, and then maybe a little guilt that you were feeling kind of, you know.
Yeah, that I was feeling abandoned in
yeah,
that sense.
And guilt because you knew he was doing something for God, but you wanted him to be there for you. And so
right.
I can see how that would have created such a turmoil inside of you and a yeah. sense of loss.
There was this sense that what I wanted and what God wanted, those things were at odds.
Yeah. It's amazing how we put things together like that in our heads,
mm-hmm.
right?
Without even thinking about it.
Right, and it builds perception, and we can act upon those even though they might not be true.
Mm-hmm.
But later on in life, if think about this, listener. I mean, this is really incredible, a thought process right here, is that, you know, we are a summation of what has happened in our lives, and we have a choice on how we look at things. But here's Caleb at 6 years old, right? And he created this thought process at six. And if he didn't like delve into that a little bit to figure that out or to think about it, it might be that there might be some of that still holding there. For instance, I don't want to get too close because it might not last because of what he grew up with. So isn't that interesting that all of us have these types of experiences in our life journey? And sometimes it's really, really good to figure these things out, to ask those tough questions so that we can understand ourselves better. You know, we're called to understand our spouse or our children, but you know what? We need to understand us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I will respond or react and I'll go, where'd that come from? Have you ever done that? Where'd that come from? And then you have to evaluate, you know, what was happening. And our emotions, I will say this, is that I've learned that our emotions are a gauge. We don't have to act upon our emotions, but when we pay attention to them, you know, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling abandoned. If we really dissect what we're feeling and then maybe figure out like where that came from, it can help us in a healing process to where we won't have that anymore, because we can replace maybe that thought process with the process or the thought of who we are in Christ. And when we do that, there's a strength that happens. And when healing happens, we're stronger. You know, you're stronger through problems we go through. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Caleb. And he's talking about his childhood and what it's like to not fit in or fit in and where is home. So getting back to you, Caleb, would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So you've learned some of these things because the way you're presenting this is that you've done an evaluation and you've realized that at 6 years old, this happened and you, in your mind, came up with this thought process.
I wouldn't say that I came up with that thought process as soon as I was 6 years old.
No.
But by the time I was 11, I think this thought had occurred, and mm-hmm. I looked back. It's like everyone has a story, because everyone has a beginning and a middle and an end.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that makes a story beautiful is the interpretation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense that looking back over my life, there are several good things and several painful things that have happened. But having the right narrative in mind, putting what happens to me and putting my experiences onto the background of the greater narrative of what God is doing really helps me put into perspective how God was growing me in those times of pain, more so even than in the times of joy. One of the things that C.S. Lewis said in one of his books is that God whispers to us in the pleasures that we experience, and he shouts to us in our pain.
That's great. That's awesome. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Caleb and what it's like to not fit in or fit in, and where is home and who are you really? And if you think that maybe there's somebody that might need to hear this show, just realize that you can point them in the direction of Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and you can pull up any podcast for the last 3 years. So let's move forward. Okay. You come to America thinking this is your home. And what happened?
Well, the first time we moved back to the States, I was 11 years old. We came back to the States for a year, and I didn't really have the faculties to interpret how I was feeling. I just knew that when I went to, I came back to the States with all of these expectations that I would fit in, that it would be great. And when I first got to elementary school, I did a year in fifth grade in the States. Without even realizing it, I came to the conclusion that I was strange, that I didn't belong all over again. That I was here in this place that I was supposedly from. We were living in Seattle, by the way. And I still didn't fit. So that actually increased my sense of alienation, that I began to think that there might not be anywhere where I really could fit, where I could feel at home. The odd thing about growing up as the son of missionaries is realizing that just from having good parents and growing up in a Christian environment does not automatically make you a Christian. I learned a lot about the Bible. I was a relatively well-behaved kid. I knew how to talk so that adults would commend me. I always got good grades in Sunday school. But it didn't really filter down from my head into my heart and into my actions and who I was when I was alone.
There's a saying that I say, it's who you are when no one's looking is who you really are.
Yeah, that very much applies. Mm-hmm. And for all of how good my parents were at disciplining me and at teaching me the right way to do things, it was really what they unconsciously taught me that really kind of set me off track. And I must say that my parents are both, you know, from a kind of a previous generation, a previous era, where there was this idea that they, as missionaries, they had to be an example for the community, and they weren't really allowed to have problems. They weren't allowed to have marital problems. We as the children weren't supposed to misbehave in where other people could see us, because that would reflect badly on us as a family. And so that was never explicitly said, but it just was how things played out. I would see my parents have a fight. I remember waking up when I was like 8 years old, and they were fighting in the kitchen. And they never brought that to anyone outside of the family for help.
I see this so often in ministry. I see it, and it's a sad state of affairs because we are human and we all struggle. And sometimes those in high places, those that are put in positions of leadership, there's this lie that we've got to have it all together. And that's not the truth. The truth is that, you know, we have issues and we have struggles. We just need to know where to go to learn how to deal with them. But the honesty and the truth of saying, I'm having difficulty right now and I need some help, and going to the right place, it says go for Christian counseling. That's a lot of the times what happens with people in ministry. People that are being looked at as people that supposedly have it all together.
Yeah.
And it's sad, because how much better is it to show vulnerability and transparency to say, you know what? I've struggled with that too.
Yeah, because not only that, but as missionaries, the job is to make God look good. We make God look good by revealing how unperfect and how ungood we are, and yet God is still working in our lives. He is still using us to bring good to other people.
That is so true. That's awesome.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I didn't really commit my life to Christ until I was actually back in the States when I was 18.
Did something happen that caused you to commit yourself, your life to the Lord? Was there this event?
There was.
What happened?
This part of the story is very difficult. Speaking of making
transparency.
God look, transparency,
yes.
And making God look good in myself, not so much.
Well, I'm commending you for being brave.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I don't know what you're going to say, but I can tell that it's going to be good.
Before I came back to the States, for the last 2 months before I came back to the States, secretly, without my parents knowing, I was involved in a romantic relationship that just completely derailed everything. It was completely behind my parents' backs, and there was this idea that we would just run away together eventually. But since I couldn't tell my parents anything about it because I had kept it so secret and I was so full of fear, I just did what my parents were already expecting me to do, which was go back to the States and go to Bible college.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
So Caleb, right before we went to break, you were talking about this relationship that you kept secret.
Yes, absolutely. And just because I couldn't reveal any of that to my parents, just because I was keeping it so secret and I was so full of fear, I ended up going to Bible college like they expected me to, even though I was at that point considering running away from my parents, leaving behind my friends, and just pursuing this relationship, because perhaps in romance I would finally find this sense of belonging that I had been looking for. However, there I was at Bible school, and within 2 weeks of being at Bible school, I learned so much about God that I hadn't realized before, primarily this concept of who we are in Christ being something so untouchable by what we, whatever sort of pain or whatever sort of sin we commit, who we are in Christ is completely untouchable by that. It will always remain perfect. When we are in Christ, God sees us as being as perfect as his own son. And that concept was powerful enough. It was, for the first time, I was considering God not as this set of ideals and principles and attributes. I saw God as a person, and I saw what he was offering me in a relationship with him. And that one thing was big enough that I could completely abandon this harmful, unhealthy relationship that I was in and completely turn my life around. I couldn't do it alone, though.
I bet there's some listeners out there that are hearing what you're saying, and they're asking themselves, if they don't have this personal relationship that you say changed the way you thought about God. You know, because if somebody has, you know, if Jesus or God is like our father, but we don't have a good father figure, then, you know, we put restrictions on, or, you know, containers on what love looks like, or a fatherly love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But something opened your eyes and your heart, because I've been in situations where people have been raised Catholic, and I realized that there's a lot of tradition and ritual, but there was a lack of, with the people that I've known closely, there was a lack of personal heart relationship with our Heavenly Father. So it was head knowledge and tradition and ritual, but it wasn't heart felt. And so something changes, listener. Something changes in our entire being when we realize who we are from God's eyes. When we look at ourselves the way God sees us, wow. You know, it's like you're washed clean, white as snow, and you're forgiven, and there's grace, and there's beauty and love and warmth and just all those beautiful things. And if you go to Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and you look up Helping Hands, there's three pages of who I am in Christ. And you can read these scriptures every day. And I am not kidding. I've had people tell me they've done this, and it changes their lives because they start seeing themselves the way Christ sees them. And it's a healthy, healthy thing to do. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Caleb, and he's talking about his childhood and what it's like to not fit in or fit in, and where is home and who are you really? So stay tuned to what we are going to talk about. And if you think that maybe there's somebody that might need to hear this show, just realize that you can point them in the direction of Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com, and you can pull up any podcast for the last 3 years. We are syndicated, go from San Diego to San Luis Obispo, and well, now with the internet, you can find me anywhere, no matter where you are. So that's a wonderful thing. So your life was changed. You had a heartfelt change moment where mm-hmm. you realized who you were in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's available to anyone and everyone.
Yeah. I think up until this point, I had a relatively accurate view of who I was, insofar that I was imperfect, I was sinful, that I was not good enough for God.
Mm.
But the last thing that I was sure of at this point, in the midst of all of this uncertainty about where I belonged, with this view of myself, this was the last thing I had, was myself. I couldn't imagine giving that up in order to serve God, giving up this ugly old sinful self that was me. But realizing that there was this offer that I could be a new creation, that all things could be made new and healed, and that this new self, it would still be me, but it would be
a new creation.
It would be me in Christ.
Right.
And that offer was finally enough. That offer of grace. I was never brought to repentance through discovering how sinful I was. I was brought to repentance by realizing the grace and the fullness of the riches that were being offered to me, that I was able to turn away from my own sinfulness and self-love to gain this new life in Christ.
And that's available to everyone and anyone. And all he asks is for you to look up, reach up, and ask him into your heart, to ask him into your heart. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. So moving forward from that, okay, you went to college and you learned a lot more about, and you had a new set of eyes probably, and a healed with grace heart.
Right.
So you received his love in a much different measure than before, would you say?
Yes.
Okay.
And the first thing I did with this new repentance that I had was I felt led to confess all of this to the faculty of this school. And even knowing what the consequences of that might be, that I might be asked to leave the school or something like that, because I had come in under false pretenses. But for the first time, I was confident that I could obey God because he was on my side, and that even if the consequences of this were painful, that it would be for my good. Not just my good, but the best, because it was part of God's plan for me.
Mm-hmm. Part of coming clean, repentance is coming clean. It's washing the slate clean.
Absolutely.
Right. And God knows. It's not like he doesn't already know, because he knows every thought. He knows every hair on our head before, you know, when we're created. But it's for us to get it out, because we're holding the secret.
Mm-hmm.
And the secret, as long as it's a secret, holds us captive. Mm-hmm. And we have to let that secret out. And I've said this at other shows, is that that's when I received healing, is when I let secrets out, because they hold you in bondage. And when you make a decision that no matter what, even if it's going to be painful and harmful, you're doing yourself harm by keeping the secret. So it's better, listener, that if you have a secret, find a safe place, find a safe person, and let the secret out. So moving forward, you were going to talk about community, of where you are now.
Well, it was through confession, through opening up about my sin, that, and opening up to the idea that I needed help, that I had this problem and this emptiness that I needed filled. And for the first time, letting someone else see that God, through other people, poured truth into my life to counteract all of these lies that I had been telling myself. Because before, I was alienated. I was a stranger in a strange land. I was far from God. But now, in Christ, as Jesus is seated at God's right hand, and since I am in Christ, I'm seated at God's right hand. Jesus is full of the love of God. Therefore, I am full. I'm not empty. And while I still have a sense that I don't belong anywhere here on earth, I have a hope and a confidence that there is a place for me in eternity.
You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Caleb, and he's talking about his childhood and where is home and who are you really? So stay tuned to what we are going to talk about. On my way into work today, I'm always praying for the Lord to guide this show, and Lord, please guide me to give hope and help me to be that servant and that vessel. And there was a song that came on the radio, and I listened to the words and I just went, oh my goodness, what a great song. I want to share it with all of you. And the song is from The Afters, and just some of the lyrics in this song goes along with today's show. Waiting for the sunrise, waiting for the day, waiting for a sign that I'm where you want me to be. You know my heart is heavy and the hurt is deep. But when I feel like giving up, you're reminding me that we all fall down sometimes. But when I hit the ground, you lift me up when I am weak. Your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. I know I'm not perfect. I know I make mistakes. I know that I have let you down, but you love me the same. And when I'm surrounded, when I lose my way, when I'm crying out and falling down, you are here too. Lift me up when I am weak. Your arms wrap around me. Your love catches me, so I'm letting go. You lift me up when I can't see. Your heart is all that I need. Your love carries me, so I'm letting go. Isn't that beautiful? And doesn't that go along with today? So I'm going to have that song played so you can hear the song, and then we'll come back.
My heart is heavy and the hurt is deep, but when I feel like giving up, you're reminding me that we all fall down sometimes. But when I hit the ground, make mistakes. I know that I've let you down, but you love me the same. And when I'm surrounded, when I lose my way, when I'm crying out and falling down, you are here to lift me up when I
So wasn't that that amazing song? And the last verse, I can see the dawn is breaking. I'm feeling overtaken with your love, with your love. I don't know what I can offer in this moment. I surrender to your love. And that's what he's asking us to do. Surrender to his love. You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. I have Caleb with me and we're talking about that and how Caleb's life has been a testimony to surrendering And, you know, through all of us, we all have a story, don't we? We all have a story. And it's not over yet, is it? It's not over yet. So, Caleb, you're talking about where you're at now in life. You know, we're up to now.
Right.
So what does now look like, and what's happening?
Now looks like I am getting as involved as possible in the community of believers around me. I'm letting myself open up to the people around me, let them hear who I am, and also living as closely as possible with those people. Like you said at the beginning of the show, we choose our friends wisely, and I'm surrounding myself as much as possible with people who are as Christ-like as I can find. Because the pursuit of my life, the purpose of my life, is to become more like Christ. Now that I am like him in faith, I want to become like him in truth, in this world, and doing that through loving sacrificially and putting aside my own wants and my own comforts for the sake of building up how beautiful and how great God is. And that's you can't really do that alone. You have to do that in relationships with other people. God is a relational God.
Yes, he is.
And it's through, more so than just someone looking at me and seeing Christ, it's looking at us and seeing Christ, seeing how we interact with each other. It says in John that that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "You will be known as my disciples by your love for each other." And so what that looks like is well, one of the things is that I'm living in a house with 9 other Christian guys, and it's uncomfortable, and we have to share bathrooms and kitchens, and sometimes it's not fun, but at the same time, we get to display God's love to other people when we invite them over, or when we let like homeless people live at our house or something like that for a while. They get to see what God's people look like. They get to see what God is like through how we interact with each other, and how the love that God is pouring into our lives pours out into the lives of those around us, first to each other and then to the community.
So you learn godly principles, like if you have a problem with your brother, you go to the brother and you talk to the brother and you say, "I'm having an issue," and you understand each other better, and then you try to work it out, come with a compromise.
Absolutely, because the thing is that when you're living alone, it's so easy to just kind of ignore problems.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're living with another person, You can't keep your dishes unwashed, and you can't just leave your junk lying around.
You can do that.
But they won't.
You're going to get kicked out.
Problems will get addressed. People come to each other and work things out so that they can continue to be in a relationship with each other.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, 10 guys in a house. That's what marriage and family's all about, too. You learn these things in a family.
Absolutely.
Family unit. Yeah.
And then within that family, that family becomes a brick in the church, building each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes there are problems within the family that also can't be resolved. Like in my own parents' marriage, they kept things secret, and therefore mm-hmm. that problem festered for years.
Yes, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking and you were saying that you display God's love, the best way I can describe displaying of love is putting others before yourself. And that's what you do. When you love somebody, you put the other person before yourself. So spouses, you know, significant others, mothers, fathers. When you truly are loving, it's sacrificial. And loving, what did God do? He gave his only begotten son, right? He sacrificed Jesus because he loved us so much. So we are called to love him first, put him first in all things, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the two commandments that everything else will work out if we just do those two things. Sounds simple, but you know what? Sometimes it's not. But that's what we're supposed to do. Love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Do those two things. So in closing, Caleb, what do you want to tell the listeners out there? It's not so easy being on the radio, is it?
No, it's not. I'm not used to talking so much.
No, go ahead.
I want to say that I want to offer you hope, but there's only one hope, and that's Jesus Christ. It's through finding your identity and finding your home, your hiding place in Jesus, that all the rest will come together, that you'll be able to withstand pain and you'll find that peace that surpasses all understanding. This is a crazy, stressful world, but it will all make sense if you're walking with Jesus.
I couldn't have said that better myself. How old are you, Caleb?
I'm 23.
23.
And a half.
And a half. So listeners, there you heard it. You heard it from a 23-year-old young man. He's my assistant, and he's just awesome to work with. And I wanted him to come in and share, because you know what? We have all ages, all stages in our lives, and we all have a story. Please go to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, oneword.com. And when you go there, there's videos, there's TV production, there's Helping Hands with Who I Am in Christ. I suggest you download that and read it daily. And what else do we have? Podcasts. We have 3 years of podcasts on there. So, you know, if you need help, if you need hope, go there and see if you can get it. Okay? God bless you. And you know what? Just ask God. Just ask God, and he'll be there for you. Until next week, make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. Bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home. Your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.